Turn to, if you can, Acts chapter 17. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 17. Pray real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this soul-winning church. Lord, I pray you fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us as we go out. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 17 there in verse 22 says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you.'" And the title of this little sermon tip is watch, just simply watch. So you see, as Paul was like heading over to preach the gospel, he's paying close attention, right, to the people that he's trying to reach. As he walked by, he's perceiving things. He's looking at things. To perceive just means that you become aware of something by the use of one's senses, especially that of sight. And he perceived they were superstitious. As he passed by, he beheld the inscription. And to beheld something means you look at, see, observe, view, take note of, watch. So that's where I got the title name. But, you know, sometimes, like, especially when we're new, we can kind of get regimented in our soul winning and where we're just doing the same thing. And, of course, I'm not talking about, like, straying from Romans Road or using the right verses. You should always do that. I'm talking about a lot of times we use analogies. We use examples that we might find that fit that individual that's right in front of us, like Paul. Like, he walked by and he saw this is going to resonate with these people. So we should take note of who the greatest soul winner that was ever on the face of the earth, what he's doing, and pay attention and see that there's things that maybe we should be looking at as well when we're going out soul winning. The Bible often tells us to watch. It tells us to observe. It tells us to pay attention. It tells us to discern. And we want to make sure we're not getting too much on autopilot, where we forget that human being that's like right in front of us, that it's a specific person that God brought you to their door to reach. And, you know, I believe in that. I believe that God just has divine appointments. Sometimes he puts the right person in front of the right people. So maybe you do notice that a bumper sticker as you walk up or something that might tell you a little bit more about him. That's why we ask questions. We say, what kind of church do you go to, right? That's why maybe you see like a you know, some little Hindu idols on a shelf, and you know that you're going to have to tell them, hey, you're going to have to put that away if you believe on Christ. If they get saved, you got to tell them, hey, you can't just add that to the shelf, right? You have to, God is a jealous God, and Jesus said, I am the way, right? You're not going to be able to continue to worship false gods while you're saying that you believe on Jesus. So there's a lot of things that we could do just by paying attention and being in the moment, right? And, you know, like maybe you might perceive that you're in front of a young person, right? A teenager or somebody that you know is taking tests. And I like to use this test analogy. I think it does a good job of showing people how to believe. You may have already heard it. I didn't come up with it, but I think it is a good way to show somebody what it means to believe. So you might say to somebody, so, you know, you take tests, right? Let's say you have to take your final exam and you're worried about it, right? And I tell you, hey, don't worry about that test. I believe in you. What am I saying? And you ask them, what am I saying, right? And get them involved. That's another tip. Ask questions. Because a lot of times, if you don't ask questions, you might not perceive that that person is completely zoned out, right? And then you're going to end up preaching the gospel to them all over again at the end. So get them involved. Ask questions. Make them answer. Get them involved. Because, you know, I could probably answer my wife by nodding my head about half the time if I didn't hear the question. But, you know, that one time when you see her eyes light up, I probably know I screwed up, you know, just faking it till I make it. So ask those questions. Make sure you understand that they're paying attention, because sometimes you might even have to say, hey, do you want me to continue? You know, we've had to ask that to people before, right, where they just, their countenance is showing that they're just, this is the last thing they really want to be doing. So give them that opportunity, because you don't want to just be preaching to somebody for nothing, right? So you make them answer. And what are they usually going to say? You know, are you saying, when I tell you I believe in you in that test, that you could pass that test, what am I saying? They're usually going to say, well, you trust that I'm going to pass. And you're just like, that's right. Now, what if I give you all the answers? Did I believe in you then? And they say, no. You know, what if I even give you just one answer? Did I believe in you? And they say, no. And you're just like, well, that's the same way with Jesus. A lot of people think they need to help Jesus out by being a good person, by repenting of their sins, by going to church. And Jesus doesn't need our help. Because what that is, that's you believing in yourself. That's not believing in Jesus, right? So I think it can relate to somebody who's, you know, they take a test, that's going to, trigger with them. You're not necessarily going to give someone like that an example of marriage, maybe, that they might not understand or something like that. But it's just a matter of being in the moment, being with that person, perceiving, watching, paying close attention, and just doing the best you can to reach that person that God's put in front of you, because we do have an important job and not a lot of people are doing it. And so we should really take it seriously and, you know, look for ways, perceive different ways that you can get better with your gospel presentation, and don't just keep it the same every single time, because you're always dealing with a very unique person that's right in front of you. So with that, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for a soul-winning church. I pray that you bless us as we go out. Bring us to somebody who might want to hear the gospel, Lord, and just help us to have boldness to preach what you would want us to say. In Jesus' name, amen. And then Sean.